First John chapter 2, verses 24 through 25. Hear now the words of the true and living God. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he made to us, eternal life. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning, beloved. This morning, I want to bring to your attention the beauty of just two verses within the Epistle of John. Though you may think that there is not much to share in two verses for a whole sermon, we cannot deny the ability that God's word can and will change the perspective of the way we think by exploring the depth and vastness that comes from these sentences. Looking closely at the importance that John is emphasizing this morning, I want to break up these sentences so we can see the logical flow which leads us to a beautiful promise, a reward that grabs our attention so we can focus on how we are to respond. My prayer is that by the end of this sermon, we will see what we have actually inherited, which is a beauty beyond all life as we know it. A beauty that is intertwined together as one and far beyond the comprehension of this corrupted world. That we would surrender to the richness of Christ to abide. And they, God the Father and the Son, would come and make their home here in our lives. I know you may not understand yet, but as we think of these things that I've told you, let us begin to engage and expound in detail what God wants us all to know. But before I do, let me pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this song that we just sang. The Father, that you would open up your words to now display your glory through your word. That this preaching, oh Lord, that you would guard my lips from error, but rather speak the truth of the knowledge of the gospel of Jesus Christ in all of our hearing, so that we would see the beauty of what we have inherited. And this inheritance is also a promise that you, Lord Jesus, would work in us as a reality of us surrendering ourselves to the gospel of Jesus Christ, so that our active participation, when we are actively doing what you've told us to do, is in submission to your word. When we surrender ourselves to you, our Lord, it is when we come to invite you into our lives, that you make your home within us, so that you become real, something that is from the beginning that we have heard, that is the eternal life, that is the promise, that is the promised one in whom we proclaim to you now and which we were proclaimed earlier on in our lives. The Father, this reality is not just for the first time believers, but the gospel of Jesus Christ is to abide in you continuously so that we grow into all maturity, knowing that we have fellowship with the disciples that walk with you actually back in those days, that we also walk with you now and have fellowship with you now if we abide in you. So, Father, help us to see this truth. Help us to know that within our hearts that we are not achieving something that is religiously or something that is out of, you have to do this in order to do that. But, Father, as a proper response of what you are showing us through your gospel, that we come with willing hearts, with the richness that you dwell in us, to give you thanks, Lord, yes, but also actively participating what is unfolding till the end of the age. That this lens that we look through, O Lord, is also a lens of the eschatological time when we go home to be with you. So, Father, open our ears to hear, yes, as we heard, and our eyes to see what it is that was from the beginning. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So let us begin. I invite you to get your Bibles. If you don't have a Bible, there's Bibles on the table. So into our verse, 1 John chapter 2, verse 24. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. First of all, there are 3 points in the first sentence I want us to grasp. 3 points we need to see before we look at the condition, the inheritance, and the promise in the following sentences. 3 points that have both the logical flow, which we must all do. This logical flow starts from the very first word, which does and should grab our entire attention right from the outset. The very first word, let. The let. It's an imperative, a command, a doing word. It is for us to actively engage in something, a call for us to do something, yes, but the action to do something is actually a passive command. You see, the let is an action of passivity. It is to actively submit to something, or even better, to actively surrender to someone. So what does this mean, Providence? What does it mean to let us surrender to someone? It means we are surrendering to the command of our Lord and allowing Him to fulfill His purpose in our lives. When we surrender, we open the doors of our souls to the words we have heard from the beginning. We open up, we let in, surrendering our life to be indwelt with the wonderful reality. You see, the let is an action of passivity. The letting is not fighting the truth to dwell in you richly. But how? How are we to let something happen to us? Last week, Brother Bruce mentioned Colossians 3, and it begins like this, Colossians 3, verse 1. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. So what do we seek? Do we seek after a bunch of virtues for the sake of having those virtues? Seeking compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience? Paul says, forgive one another, and then, verse 14 of the same Colossians 3, and above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. It's a brotherly love. But how? How do we let these things happen upon our lives? Verse 16. By letting the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And how does that happen? By teaching and admonishing with one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in our hearts to God. There it is, beloved. We are actively allowing, letting, surrendering to the word of Christ to take residence in our lives. And that residence is seen when the word of God comes out from within us by teaching and singing with thankfulness in our hearts. It's about love in action. Love in action begins by inaction. The passive, the letting that I was telling you about before, is that something that happens to us by surrendering. Beloved, do you have trouble surrendering? Let me teach you how I surrender. When I'm up the front singing and playing the guitar, I am surrendering everything I have learned throughout all my years as a Christian to let it flow, to let it flow through my voice, my lips, my fingers as I play the guitar, and to also incorporate my heart, my mind, to sing praises of exaltation that is an extension of the word of life that dwells in me. It's letting go of all the dross, all the things that the world tries to consume me with throughout the week, and concentrating on the eternal words of Christ. That's how I surrender. You will also see this surrender by our brotherly love. It's a major theme of John's if we look at it. 1 John 3 verse 11. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. 2 John verse 6. And this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, just as you have heard from the beginning, so that you should walk in it. This letting something happen in us is to allow God to dwell in us by the word. And that surrender is action by loving one another, but also walking in them. And that walking is the tough bit. You know, when you read something the Lord desires of your walk, it's something hard to put in practice. So what we allow or let in our eyes, what we let in through our ears, what we let out through our minds, what we let entertain our minds. But this letting should be about letting something have its way within us. But that something is not only words. It's more than moralism. It's more than just words on a piece of paper. Just to do this, and you will get this. It's a living word. Which brings us to our second point. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. There it is, our second point. We see in the text that we have to do next, beloved, is to let what we have heard from the beginning. But let's look at it closely. Let what you have heard. So what we have heard is something we have already been told. But what have we been told that we must adhere to? It was from the beginning. So let me ask you, what was it that we heard from the beginning? What we have heard from the beginning is actually at the beginning of this epistle of John. Because this is an echo of the beginning that John is now emphasizing. His repetition back in chapter 1 to what we're in now in chapter 2 is to underline his statement. So we have an affirmation of what he is saying and the conclusion which we'll come to later. So come with me and let's find out what he is saying in the beginning of 1 John 1, chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testify it and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. The disciples were with the Son of God, Jesus Christ, whom is from the beginning, that they testify to have seen, heard, and touched. This is what we have heard from the beginning, beloved, who was made manifest to the disciples. Jesus Christ is the word of life, the gospel which came into this world in the flesh and is the Son of God. The disciples have also witnessed his life when he walked among them and taught them all things pertaining to the will of God. They also witnessed the works of his life on earth, bringing salvation to all who believe, healing the dead and corrupt hearts, and never knew life or the fullness that came with Christ. For a select few who also witnessed his deity upon the mountain when they saw his radiant glory. The disciples also witnessed his death. Knowing the own time of his death, he prophesied leading up to the very last night that he knew he would no longer be with them and preparing his disciples for his absence. They witnessed his resurrection when Jesus walked among them and reassuring him that he is alive, allowing them to place his hands in his wounded hand and in his side. But this only became a reality when they believed, when Christ opened up their eyes to finally see and know. In this is the gospel, which was made manifest, made real to them, to the disciples in whom they proclaimed through the ages, to our very ears, which we also heard and believed. So what you have heard from the beginning can sometimes be as simple as confessing with our mouths and believing in him that we are saved. Exactly what the young adults are learning about in preparation for harnessing the true gospel to make as their defense. It was also one of our questions we had in our Bible study quizzes. It's sometimes as simple as Romans 10:9. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's sometimes as simple as that. And that's where we come to the third point. The third point of this sentence is to abide in what we heard from the beginning. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. We are to abide in the gospel of Jesus Christ, which we heard from the beginning. To abide in it is to remain in the gospel, dwell in it continually as the day when we were saved. But why do we abide in it? Because the gospel, which was from the beginning, has the power to save. No matter our maturity level we have with Christ, we are still in need of the gospel, which continues to keep us from falling away. Abiding is to then remain in the gospel. Now this gospel of Jesus Christ, the living word of God, is exactly that, living and active. Like the author of Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 and 13. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. So the word of God is living and active. It is not dead, it is alive. But we all know words don't live. These words or word must be more than letters stringed together to form sentences that somehow produce power. God's word penetrates our thoughts and the intentions of our heart. You struggle with mental sins, pornography, lust, coveting, power, status. The word of God will destroy that evil. But you must fight to let his word in. Fight to become passive. Fight to abide. Abide, beloved, in his word. Let it dwell in you richly. It is our intentions of the heart You love the world, spend so much time in it, you think you can't live without it. It's because you have accustomed your life to desire it. And when it's gone, you miss it. That's why it says, dwell in the Word, and you will find riches there. The riches that we see also in Psalm 119, verses 97 to 104. Oh, how I love your law! It is my meditation all the day. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word. I do not turn aside from your rules, for you have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. We let these words curb the intentions of our heart. We fight them because we think words are flaccid, soft, loose, or sloppy. But there is beauty if we would spend time in them to become faithful. An expression we see in Psalm chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by the streams of living water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. You want to prosper in more than your eyes and mind covets, in greater eternal things? Abide, providence, abide in his word. God knows our frailty, that we are unable to hide from him. He shows us back in the book of Hebrews that we just left. So Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. His words expose us, and yet when exposed, God in Jesus still dies for us. Abide in this gospel explained to you in the beginning of your eternal lives. Abide in it. Make it a continual and daily devotion. It is not just for the moment of believing in the Savior the first time. It is to fill us with the substance in which our life depends on every day. That is why John is writing this epistle, because he is writing it from an old but very spiritually mature age, to show us that this gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ, is to be engaged on a continual basis every day. To abide, beloved, abide in and remain in the gospel is to abide in the Son of God, the very source of the gospel itself. Because Jesus is the author and the completion of our faith in the word which we heard from the beginning. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Father and the Son. And here is the result. Here's the result of the 3 points we have just heard. If what you have heard, then you will abide in the Son. if you do this, Providence, then you will have the Father and the Son, just as the disciples had the very source, Jesus Christ, whom was with them in the flesh, as well as his deity. Jesus was made manifest to them, but this same Jesus is made manifest to us all as well. This is why we see the words, "you too." Then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. It's another echo, like we have already seen back in the beginning of the epistle of 1 John chapter 1, but verse 3. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. This is why God wants us to surrender to him, to remain in him, as did the disciples who were with Christ, the living, active, and walking gospel that is proclaimed today. That when we surrender to him, he will remain in us, because we have gained the source of the gospel who walked among the disciples on this earth. It is because of this surrendering that we are a part of the unfolding, that we are a part of this continual unfolding history. The purpose of this continuing word of Christ traveling through the ages to reach us today. This indeed is a beauty to be a part of. But the real beauty is what happens within us when we gain the Father and the Son. A part of us that is continually changing if we abide in him. If what you have heard from the beginning abides in you, then you will have the Father and the Son. It's a metaphysical activation. It is the internal workings of the gospel, who is Christ himself, which changes the natural man into something that is supernatural. And this natural man is no longer bound to his own desires, but rather to the supernatural thoughts and inclinations of the supernatural being, the creator of all things, Yahweh, God himself. And this is why his spirit lives in us all, so that they may make their home in us. It is a wonderful reality that unfolds and takes place, that the Father and the Son will come and make their home, make their place of continual fellowship within us. John 14:23 says, Jesus answered him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." When the Father of all creation and the Son in whom walked and lived among us comes to make their home with us, they actively engage their desires, their inclinations, that transforms our will to align with theirs. It is to show us that the eternal things of God are beyond the limitations and expectations of this world, so that we would no longer look back or want what it has. It opens up our newly transformed lives to submit to the things that are eternal through the lens of the supernatural. That is why we inherit the promise that comes with the love and fellowship of God and Jesus, and who makes their home with us. A promise that brings us to our final verse, 1 John 2:25. And this is the promise, beloved, that he made to us, eternal life. Eternal life is the promise. A promise that is a result of this gospel of Jesus Christ, which was from the beginning. The living word of Christ, which was made manifest to us also, that now abides in us if we abide in him. If we abide, beloved. Do you want to know if you're saved? Do you want assurance that you have eternal life in God the Father and the Son? Do you want peace of mind that you no longer have to fear death? Abide, Providence. Abide in the word of life. Abide in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Surrender to him by giving up the things of this world, that we may have fellowship with the Father and the Son, and that they will make their home with us. For that promise that is revealed to us is the word of life, is the Son of God, is Jesus Christ, whom is with the Father. In 1 John 1, 2, it says, the life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. We do not separate them. We do not separate the eternal life, which is Jesus Christ. We do not desire for longevity of life and then a distant second, Jesus Christ. For the whole world desires this. The whole world wants to live as long as they possibly can at the cost of a false desiring of self-desiring hope. The promise, beloved, is Jesus Christ. Jesus is eternal life, which was from the beginning. So if we desire the Son, then we will have eternal life. Jesus Christ and the Father. And this promise is both our assurance and inheritance that Jesus prepares for us all. That's why he says he'll go and prepare a place for you. The promise that assures us that this new life of ours abides and surrenders to the will of God in Jesus Christ, who is the eternal life. So in conclusion, beloved, as we wrap it up, when we abide, we not only receive the greatest gift of all, to have the Father and the Son, who is eternal life, we also look through a new lens of hope that the Father and the Son not only make the home with us in this world, but we look to an eschatological hope of the end times when we will be with them. Do you see? The one who was from the beginning, in whom we have heard, the one in whom we surrender to, the living word, the gospel of Jesus Christ, who was made manifest, made real in our lives. That we, beloved, we live as newly transformed supernatural beings who surrender to the rest of our lives to abide in Jesus Christ. Let me pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for your word. Your word that brings us a truth, O Lord, that the condition, if we abide, then you will abide in us. That if we surrender and submit our lives to you, O Lord Jesus, we are allowing you to work inside us to transform our lives so that we may see the majesty, that we may see the glory, that we may see the wonder, the beauty of the gospel working in us, that we may never look back. We may never look to the things that were of this world, because we know the eternal promise is in Jesus Christ. And that this was all paid for us all. That this work that Jesus did was out of the love of the Father to us all. That the extension of the workings of the gospel of Jesus Christ be in us all this morning as well. So that even when we're in our workplaces, oh Lord, that you would dwell in us. That our thoughts be upon you, our Lord, and not the things of this world. So that even when we come home, O Lord, it is overflowing to our children, to our wives, to our friends, our family, our loved ones, so that we may see the workings of you in us. And that, Father, that this fellowship of gaining the very source of the gospel in whom Jesus Christ would dwell in us all richly. So that when we come to submit to you, our Lord, that you would do the work in us. And that we would give you glory by being participants of the activation of the work of Christ Jesus, our Lord, who is living in us every day. Help us, our Lord, that you may become real in our lives. Not to achieve a moralistic view of for the sake of achieving things, but rather to gain you, O Lord. To allow you, O Lord, to dwell in us and overflow throughout everything we do in word or deed. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.